Well, hi, I'm Randy Fay.
And I'm Nancy Lewis.
And we're on the road again and ready to give you another Hobo Biker podcast. We have a friend to introduce to you today.
We're in the eastern part of Guatemala, heading towards the Honduras border. We are way up into the mountains we've climbed today. We're about 2,600 meters, and it's absolutely beautiful. We stopped at this place where they have supposedly waterfalls, but it's kind of the dry season and it's not very
Not
spectacular.
very watery.
But it's very peaceful and forested and very beautiful.
Our climb that we just did was as high as we've been since central Mexico. We topped out at about 8,200 feet. And we climbed we climbed up. What did we climb up? We climbed up like 3,000 feet in about 6 miles, which is pretty stiff. But here we are enjoying the cool air in a pine forest, and we can see into other countries. We're sure we can see El Salvador from here.
We probably could see to United States from here.
Might run into the curvature of
That
the
might,
Earth by
yeah, that might be a little.
then. Do you think that's an exaggeration? Oh well,
Anyway, we
okay.
got going again, and we're functional. We had a cold to start, and we just made this climb successfully despite that, so we're happy about that. But we are riding with a friend, which is the first time that we have done that in a long time. Scott Demirk is the first cyclist we've run into since northern Mexico, Copper Canyon area. And we met him kind of deliberately. We knew he was hanging around in this part of the world. And we had corresponded by internet. And so we got together and we're headed toward Honduras together, headed toward the Copan ruins in Honduras, if we can pull that off. So we'd like to introduce you to Scott. And Scott, hello. Welcome.
Hello and thank you. Been fun riding together after having communicated by internet for about a year, finally meeting in Antigua.
Tell us a little bit about yourself and your bike tour, how you come to be in the mountains of Guatemala on a bike tour.
Yeah, I don't know where to start or what to include. I've been doing this sort of thing just about all my life, which is quite a while now. I took my first tour in 1970 on the Pacific Coast, my first bike tour. And last winter was touring both in the western United States and in northern Mexico. And this end of October, I flew down to Zihuatanejo in Mexico, rode about 1,500 kilometers down to Xela, or Quetzaltenango in Guatemala, where I spent a month studying Spanish, which was a very good thing, and my Spanish is much improved. And then, after a few other minor details, ended up riding from Xela to Antigua to meet you. And you know the rest.
Yeah, we know the rest, but not everybody else does. Scott is from.
The state of Washington these days, north central Washington. Little town called Twisp in the Mejia Valley up by the Canadian border, just over the crest on the east side of the North Cascades Mountains. Very beautiful country.
As our hotel host last night said, it's stuck to Canada. He lives so close in the United States that it's stuck to Canada. Oh, I'd like to kind of point out is that Scott is riding a very unusual bike, and I want to have Scott share a little bit more about his special bike and the advantages of his foldable bike.
The bike is a Bike Friday. The model is a Pocket Llama. They're made in Eugene, Oregon. And Bike Friday, the Green Gear Cyclery is the company, but their brand is Bike Friday. They make quite a number of something like 30 different models of bike. I like the Pocket Llamas, the mountain bike version. I like it partly because I can go from a 1-inch 120 PSI road racing tire to a 2-plus-inch mountain bike knobby tire just by changing tires and tubes. And I've come pretty close to doing that a couple of times. The bike is, as far as I know, the only truly high-performance folding bicycle. it will actually fit into a standard large suitcase and go on an airplane as regular check-through luggage. And it's quite sturdy. It rides very well. When I bought the bike 9 years ago, I had a Bianchi bike that was essentially a triathlon bike with touring brakes on. It was really a quite nice road bike. And after a couple months, I ended up selling it because I was never riding it anymore. I was riding the Bike Friday all the time. I often keep high-pressure, narrow road tires on it. Though on this trip, I'm riding Schwalbe Marathons in an inch-and-a-half version, and they'll go from 45 pounds when it's dirt road and soft, and I want the soft tire up to 100 pounds of pressure when I'm on good pavement. So it's a very versatile bike, and I've traveled with it a lot and enjoy it no end.
So you... Just to encourage those of you who are not spring chickens, some people think that all bike tourists are spring chickens. Is it true, Scott, that although you certainly don't look it, you're even older than we are?
This is true. I had my 60th birthday on November 7th. So I've passed the big 6-0 and am enjoying life immensely.
That was your... That 6-0 was... That party that you had was your 60th and...
My 60th birthday, full retirement, and bon voyage for this trip. Rolled
that's
into
excellent.
One.
Yeah.
It was
that's
a fun
excellent.
Party.
So, Scott, tell us a little bit about your ride. You enjoyed Mexico like we did. We spent 4.5 months riding through Mexico, and we just loved every bit of it. We met the most wonderful people, and we think Mexico is one of the top places in the world. Just a delightful place. What was your experience? Tell us about your trip.
Well, I've certainly enjoyed Mexico, both this trip and the previous trip last winter when I was in northern Mexico. But this time I flew into Zihuatanejo, a place that I'd actually bicycled to quite some years ago as well, and rode down the Pacific coast until I hit Guatemala. It was beautiful. There were some wonderful beaches. There were wonderful people all the way along. It seems everywhere I travel in Latin America, they're wonderful people. I always enjoy the people. It was very hot a good bit of the time. And then as we were talking about people, I had quite a wonderful experience in southern Mexico, not far from the Guatemalan border, though I got into it in a way I would prefer not to repeat. I apparently became dehydrated and went unconscious while riding the bike. And fell over.
That's not very good.
No, that was, as I said, it's not the way I would prefer to enter into an interesting and rich experience. But there was a young family driving, apparently right behind me in their little pickup, saw me go over, stopped, picked me up. I was essentially unconscious at the time. I don't remember any of that. They got my bike and all my stuff and threw it in the back of the truck. They got me into the cab. They drove me to a doctor in Tonalá, which is where they lived, in the town I was only 6 or 8 kilometers away from at the time, and where I was planning to spend that night. It was late in the day. And they took me to the doctor, had me examined, went and bought the medications, 2 medications that he recommended, took me home, gave me the master bedroom bathroom suite. I had a shower. They provided the phone so I could call my daughter and let her know that I was a little laid up, although still alive and kicking. And then they took care of me for 8 days. Fed me, made sure I was feeling okay. And they wouldn't let me pay for a thing. They wouldn't let me pay for the doctor, for the medicines, for any of the food. Even when we went out to dinner, they wouldn't let me pick up the tab. They insisted that they paid. So my total expenses for 8 days of recuperating were an occasional visit to the internet cafe so I could communicate with my friends and family.
Next time you read a headline about Mexican drug lords beheading people, remember about the other side of things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a good point. I have been doing this kind of thing all my life. I took my first long trip on the U.S. Pacific coast in 1970, and I've done bike touring in a number of different places in the world, including Thailand and Latin America, a little bit in Russia and so on. And I have never had a bad experience with people. And I've had incredibly wonderful experiences with people time after time. I just, what we just experienced here with this construction crew, we just rode down, we're riding down a dirt road after having come over a summit, and there's some road work going on, and there must have been at least a half a dozen guys hanging from a loader, the big loader that was going uphill, and they were all cheering and waving at us and cheering us on as we came down the mountain. And that's seems to me typical of what I've experienced in Latin America. The people are very friendly and very encouraging. So
when you had that experience, you were what? You were in Chiapas? Is Tonalá in Chiapas?
I believe so, yes.
And
in
so
Chiapas.
You had a little ways to go. And tell us about the rest of your trip.
Well, the rest of the trip in Mexico is more of what I'd been doing, which is relatively flat terrain. I mean, ups and downs, but nothing enormous. And then I crossed into Guatemala and wanted to go up to Xela, and fairly quickly, within 20 kilometers, I think, of getting into Guatemala, I kind of made a left turn at a junction and started climbing, and basically went up the same kind of things, hills that we've been climbing on this trip, for about a full day. It was midday or early afternoon when I made that turn at that junction, and I was climbing straight up, very steeply winding road up until evening, and then I stopped and spent the night in a little hotel, and I think the name of the town was San Rafael. And then the next morning I got back on the bike and kept climbing, and it was early afternoon when I got to San Marcos.
Brutal.
So it was, yeah, it's extremely steep, and so many of the roads in Guatemala are. It's a beautiful, beautiful country and very mountainous, and the roads are almost always straight up or straight down. There is very little that's gentle.
I'm very impressed by the engineering of the roads, and that being my background for 20 years, being able to see that they can actually build roads through this kind of terrain and the slopes and the grades and, you know, cutting off parts of the cliffs. And there's roads that you would not even imagine that they could put a road, but they're becoming paved little bit by little bit. Guatemala has phenomenal roads. We get to climb up and see these vistas that's just on top of the world we can see forever. Very impressive.
Another thing that I've been impressed with in these steep mountainsides is the agriculture going on. Earlier today, at one point, we came, as we were climbing up, we came by this spot where I looked over the edge at a coffee plantation, and I don't even know how they managed to walk on that such a steep hillside to harvest the coffee.
Yeah, yeah.
It was practically a cliff.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's typical all the way to the tops of the mountains. Mm-hmm. Everything but the very highest volcanoes. Mm-hmm. There's agriculture all the way up.
You know, in the part that you started over in Xela, it seems that those are all cornfields. And now we've entered into the coffee areas.
Coffee world.
Yeah, the coffee world. Mm-hmm. They're growing, and they grow coffee around here for Starbucks, and just pretty amazing what they're growing here.
And actually, as we were coming up, we passed an area where they were loading beautiful broccoli heads in plastic crates. I'm sure they're ready to ship them off to the U.S.
Yeah. And cabbage, mm-hmm. And I saw beets. There was
beets,
yeah,
too?
Beets. I was looking at that. There Should've was one that rolled
beet.
Off. They had them stacked up in bags, so about 50-pound bags the side of the road, and I was like trying to figure out what it was, and there was a lone beet in the middle of the dirt road.
Before this trip, I had no idea how much of our fresh produce that we get, particularly in the wintertime, comes from this part of the world, and Guatemala especially. Mm-hmm. I've had some interesting reading that I've done since I landed in Xela for a while. Mm-hmm. About that subject.
So our plan that we're working on together right now is we're headed up to the Copan ruins in Honduras, which is just across the border in Honduras, and we think that'll take us 3, 4, 5 more days if we don't take 2 rest days for every riding day. We'll see. And our working plan is that we'll then go our separate ways because Scott has different goals. What are your plans after that, Scott?
Well, I have a plane flight already booked and paid for from Guatemala City on January 26th to take me back home. I need to get back to Xela because I've left some things there, and there's also some gifts that I want to buy at a wonderful cooperative glass factory that I visited when I was there earlier. So I'll go back to Xela and then get myself to Guatemala City with all my stuff and presents and fly back home for some period of time. My life is very free at this point. I'm completely retired, so I get to do whatever I want. I could be back in this part of the world in another month after that, or I might take quite a lot longer.
We'll look forward to seeing you in Costa Rica, maybe.
It's a possibility. One never knows.
Yeah. Well, very good.
Well, I think that's, we're going to make this a short one. Try to.
I don't
for
know. This may not have been short.
anyway, we're
going to go ahead down the road here.
Yep. It's a little chilly. We're going to get on our bikes and warm up as we go downhill. Wait a minute. That doesn't make sense. But anyway, it was nice for you guys to join us again. Check our website for the latest updates and photos. And thanks for joining us.
We'll try to have a photo of Scott and his cool Bike Friday rig that's all foldable and can be folded into a suitcase for you so you can see what that looks like.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks a bunch.
Hasta luego. Gracias.
Adios.